What a blessed Sunday morning, and it is Mother's Day. It is with great blessings that we enjoy this Mother's Day. Father God, we thank you for the stage you have given us. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and fellowship in your name. We thank you for all the blessings that we have received. For all the blessings that we have received is of thine own, and it is of thine own that we give. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord for today's reading. Today's reading will be from 1 Samuel, 3rd chapter. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, he was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of the Lord had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now, Samuel did not know yet the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and laid down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. And at that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from the beginning to the end. For I told him that I would judge the family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves compatible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for my sacrifice or other offerings." Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew and led none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was a test as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word, and Samuel's word came to all of Israel. May the Lord bless the readings of his word.
Thank you, Roger. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is so powerful, especially when we are willing to surrender our hearts and minds to you and listen to what you say through your Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that even through words that I might say today, that your Spirit will speak, and that we will be able to hear you, as we've heard Samuel's difficulty in doing that, and yet Eli discerned the difference. And Lord, may we hear you today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Even though it was Timothy who gave the message last week, I'm going to be giving kind of the flip side, what I would call the flip side of his message. We're still working through principles we're finding in Proverbs, but we find those in other scriptures. And what Timothy said, not all of us were here last week, and some were doing other things in duty. Timothy pointed out that there's a problem if we are too hasty. And he gave the example of Abraham, and it's Abram at that time, and Sarai, who had been promised a child, the son of promise, but after 10 years, they grew impatient, and they took things into their own hands. They didn't wait, and Sarah arranged for Abram to have a child with Hagar, her servant, and that was the beginning of the Arab people through Ishmael. And it was only years later, after they continued finally to be patient, that Isaac, the son of promise, was born. And we know, as we read the scripture, how important Isaac was, because the Jews forever identified themselves in their God as the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we know Jacob was the head of the 12 tribes of Israel, and so the progression went along with Israel. So that was a message that we must not be too hasty and rush ahead of God. Well, today, the flip side I'd like to look at is that we also have to guard against hesitating when it's time to move ahead, because that's another difficulty that we can run into. We can hesitate rather than walking out and stepping out in faith. There's times we need to wait and not have haste. There's times we need to move and not hesitate. It works both ways, and I believe we need to be aware of the difference. There are some proverbs. By the way, I noticed something about proverbs in this series. I didn't notice it till a couple of weeks ago. If you break down the word proverbs, you can get pro verbs. Proverbs. That really doesn't mean anything, because the word for proverbs is not even an English word anyway. But it was just something I thought about, the verbs. Sometimes we need the verbs. And what I'm talking about today is sometimes we need action. The verbs are the action in a sentence. They're what's happening. There need to be verbs in our lives. Verbs like serving, like going, like speaking. Things that we do for God. So, here are some proverbs that talk about one form of action, and that is obedience. One way we can keep from hesitating is to obey. These are just a handful of proverbs, 7:1-3. This is actually three verses. It's unusual to find a section in Proverbs where you actually have several verses together. But listen to these three verses. My son, Remember what I say and treasure my commands. Obey my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as you would your own eyes. Remind yourself of them. Write them on your heart as if on a tablet. So it's saying, obey the commands of the Lord. So often in the New Testament, when it says about God's commandments, it's obey his commandments. Act on them. Proverbs 13:13. Those who reject what they are taught will pay for it, but those who obey what they are told will be rewarded. The title I gave the message today is Just Do It. Sometimes we're at that point where it's not a matter of avoiding being too hasty, like Timothy said last week. It's a matter of getting going and not hesitating, not delaying, when it's something we know God's calling us to do. 19:16, those who obey the commands protect themselves, but those who are careless will die. The stakes are high here. 28:7, children who obey what they have been taught are smart, but friends of troublemakers disgrace their parents. It's not a matter of just doing something, it's doing the God thing. 28:9, if you refuse to obey what you have been taught, your prayers will not be heard. And then 24:10 says, if you are slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited. Another theme we looked at several weeks ago now in this series, maybe months ago, was slothfulness, slack. We need to not be lazy, not slothful, be diligent in our faith. So hesitation can result in disobedience. However, and here's where I think the heart of the message lies today. Every situation is different. There's times when the thing to do is what Timothy talked about last week, which is not be too hasty, be patient, wait, don't get ahead of ourselves like Abram and Sarai did. There's other times when we need to get going and get off our seat, get on our feet, and get moving for God. Do what he's commanded us to do, not hesitate. I'm not going to sit here and give us a whole formula of how to figure that out, when we're supposed to avoid haste and when we're to avoid hesitation. But I'm going to talk about some principles and some examples in the Bible that show us perhaps some hints about how we can get this down. We actually need to have discernment. We need to have discernment, wisdom, the Holy Spirit's leading. We need to be able to understand what God is calling us to do. I found an interesting article by R.C. Sproul. Many of you know him. He's Ligonier Ministries. He's taught a lot of people. He's written many books. And not that long ago, a couple of years ago, he wrote an article on wisely handling the book of Proverbs. And in there, he talks about Proverbs that we have even outside of the book of Proverbs, that seem contradictory. Like, a stitch in time saves nine. Okay, so that means get moving. Do that stitch and do it in time. But then there's another saying in our society that says a penny saved is a penny earned. So don't spend all your money. Don't go out there and do that. Reserve that money. Save it a little bit. Those almost seem contradictory. There's an even, I think, more profound one, and it gets to the theme we have today. You might have heard, if I'm talking about hesitation, what about that proverb that says, he who hesitates is lost? Is that always true? What about when we're crossing the street and there's a car coming? He who walks is lost. It doesn't all fit together. There's another saying, look before you leap. Are those contradictory? It depends on the situation. So it requires that we have some ability to discern which situation we're in. I believe the message of not getting hasty when we should be patient is a good message. There's also a good message that says don't hesitate when you ought to get going. So you can have two proverbs, one that says, these are earthly cultural proverbs, look before you leap, that makes sense. But it also makes sense that he who hesitates is lost. Sometimes you just got to get going. There's proverbs that seem contradictory. This is amazing. These two verses occur right next to each other. Listen to these. Sproul points them out. I've seen this before in this series. I may have even mentioned them before. In the 26th chapter, the fourth verse says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly." The very next verse says, "Answer a fool according to his folly." Which is it? Depends. It depends. The one says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself." So you may look like a fool if you get down and act foolish like the fool. But then the next one says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes." Sometimes we can reveal the foolishness of another. So these seemingly contradictory things can actually not be contradictory because different situations call for different responses. There are many examples in the Bible. I'm going to be focusing now today on the issue of hesitation and not hesitating when it's getting moving that we need to do, to just do it. Think about some examples in the Bible. I landed on the one in Samuel today, but before we get to that one, go all the way back to Moses. We talked about him during the dedication. Remember when Moses was called by God at the burning bush and told that he needed to set God's people free? Moses' response in that third chapter was, "Who am I that I should go into to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "I can't do this, Lord. You got the wrong guy." He was hesitating. He didn't say, "Okay, God, I'm your man. Let's go." He said, "I can't do this." And of course, God gave him his brother Aaron and he gave him the stick. The serpent became a serpent. And Moses wasn't alone. And he, in fact, did get the people out of Israel. Or the prophet Jeremiah, when he was called. In the sixth verse of the first chapter, he says, "Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I'm a youth." He had excuses. He hesitated. But God still used him eventually. How about when Moses sent the spies out into check out the promised land and they saw giants in the land and they were afraid to go in there. But it was Caleb and Joshua who saw the land flowing with milk and honey and who said, "Hey, let's go. Let's go to the promised land." If it had been up to the other spies, they would have stayed in the wilderness forever. But Caleb said, "Let's go. Let's go for it." There were teachings of Jesus along this line. Remember the one that says, "Don't put your hand to the plow and look back, or you'll never see the kingdom of God." There are times to get going. Or in the Sermon on the Mount, the word quickly is used here. If you come to the altar and you know that there's somebody out there who has an offense with you and you need to be reconciled, it says, go right away. Leave your gift at the altar. Don't give it to God yet. Go out and get reconciled with that person and do it quickly and then come to the altar. There's certain things we need to do and do them now. Think about our own lives. What is it perhaps that God is asking us to do that we're hesitating when we shouldn't be? In Genesis 19, of course, there's that story of Lot leaving Sodom. and his wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. We need to go when God says go. The key is, of course, figuring out when God's saying go and when he's saying wait. And that takes discernment. That takes seeing what's going on. And as we get to the lesson today in the story with Samuel, let's look and notice some things in this story that are very telling. First of all, it's really about discernment. Samuel didn't know who was speaking to him for three times. He thought it was Eli, and he kept going to Eli. And Eli, in spite of his failures, and there were failures for him, Eli finally was able to discern that it was God calling Samuel, not him. And he was able to give him counsel. And he said, Samuel, go back and lie down again, and next time you get called, say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. Wow. See, Eli was discerning. Samuel wasn't. We're not in this alone. We need one another. We have counsel. We have scripture. We have prayer. We can ask God to help us know when he's saying to go. And sometimes we don't know the answer, but I guess the bottom line in today's message is this. Let's admit there are times when we really know God's saying go, and we aren't going. We have a burden in our heart, and we know God wants us to follow through on something, and we're just not doing it. And that's the time when we should not hesitate. Samuel, you know, it's interesting, this passage in Samuel on a Mother's Day, because Samuel had been dedicated to the Lord by his mother, as we heard during the dedication. And his mother had a great influence in him, even though he was brought up in the temple under Eli. He still had that mother's influence. And think of the man that Samuel became. I mean, really. Here's a guy that couldn't even hear God, didn't know God at that time, and yet God used him in so many ways. He's the one who was the bridge as the last of the judges and the first of the prophets, and leading into the kingship. He was a bridge between the judges and the kingship as a prophet. And I'm not sure he was the first prophet. I meant to say he was the one that bridged to the kingship. He's the one God used to anoint Saul. And after Saul was proved not to be a good choice, he's the one that went to Jesse and said, where are all your boys? We're looking for the king of Israel. And he looked over all the ones that were there and said, I don't see him. Do you have any other ones? Oh, yeah, I've got David out in the field. He's the youngest. I didn't even bring him in. You don't want to look at him. Well, God wanted to look at him. And he used Samuel. Samuel, this guy who couldn't even hear God in the temple. But he was guided by Eli. He grew. He met the Lord. He learned to listen. And that's what we can do. We can surrender to God and learn to listen. And so Samuel became an incredibly important person in the history of Israel. This one who in the temple was struggling so much. And he hesitated. Here finally, after he got there and he listened, and God called him, God gave him a prophetic message that was not one he wanted to hear. Eli, who had nurtured him, who was it that Samuel went to when he heard a voice and didn't know at first it was God? He went to Eli. Who's the one who told him that he better go back because God's speaking to him? It was Eli. And what's the message he got when he finally listened to God? Oh, by the way, Samuel, I'm going to destroy Eli and his family because of his son's unfaithfulness. Wow. You can understand why Samuel hesitated. He didn't want to tell Eli that word. And again, it was Eli who prompted him and said, "Hey, Samuel, the other day when you kept thinking I was calling you and it was the Lord, what did the Lord say? You never told me. Tell me. Don't hide it from me. Tell me." And he did. And it wasn't anything that was good news to Eli. And yet Eli received it after he heard it. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Eli was experienced enough, even though his sons had sinned, to know that he was going to be paying for that. And as God brought judgment upon Eli and his household, he brought blessing on the one who, even though he hesitated, finally delivered the truth. Remember Jonah? Jonah didn't want to go deliver the word of the Lord to Nineveh. He ended up getting thrown off a boat into a big fish, and he finally went and delivered that difficult word. There are things God calls us to do that are difficult. Listen, I know from whence I speak. Sometimes it's just neglect. Just a personal example. One of my closest friends through the years, one with whom I have grown in the Lord as much as anybody I can think of, through many, many years. I met him when I was just, I think, still in seminary. And that's Brian Davis. He's a very, very close friend. And our paths just went in different directions. We had no trouble. We just were going different ways. And Brian's health, as you heard in prayer today, has been failing. And I just didn't have the discipline. I knew that I should go and see him. And I always felt bad that I hadn't. And I could give you a long list of people I want to see. But somehow, God's mercy, just like it worked with Samuel, he does get to us. And Brian's son, Ben, who knew that Brian was told by the doctors that his condition was worsening, Ben called me one day, and he said, "Steve, I want you to know my dad is getting worse. And I don't want you to find that out after he's gone. I want you to know now, because the doctor said if anybody needs to come visit, it's now." And I said, "Ben, this is the best phone call I've had all year." And because of that call, I reconnected with Brian. Now when he goes to get blood transfusions, Joyce and I go and sit with Brian and Laura once a week. And we've reconnected. I had hesitated to connect with him. It can be a lack of discipline. And yet, I'm not going to sit around debating whether I ought to connect with him. That's one of those obvious things. Of course I should. But sometimes we just need that prompting. I've been wanting to see Mary Bell. I didn't want to take my bronchitis to her. And her sister, her daughter-in-law called me yesterday and said she's in the hospital, and I thought, "Lord, I know I needed to see Mary Bell." And I went to the hospital yesterday. I didn't have time, but I did. And what a visit. I encourage you to go see Mary Bell. She's at Lancaster General. You can call when you get there and ask the room number. I forget what it is. I think it's 7915 maybe, but you can go see her. She's weak, but she knows you, and she's a woman of great faith, and I was more blessed than she was by going to see her. I had hesitated. I just hadn't followed through. There's times that we just have promptings, but thank God that he does come along with a daughter-in-law or a son or somebody or an Eli who says, "Hey, go back and listen to God. Don't hesitate." What's God? Who's the Eli in your life? What's the mission that you have, like Samuel had? Look what God did with Samuel once he listened. And once he was able to say, "Lord, speak, I'm listening." We don't want to hesitate when we ought to be moving. We want to move when God calls us. And sometimes it comes very quickly. I've told some of you before, when When our leadership decided that we were going to ask John Hobbs to be our support partner, I said to John, you know, John, we really been praying, and we appreciate our relationship with you, and we've known you for over 30 years, some of us, and would you be willing to be the support partner, sort of overseer of our church? Could you pray about that and let us know? He said, no, I won't pray about that. He said, I already know. Of course I'll do it. That was so refreshing, you know, to hear that. He knew. He didn't hesitate. Yep, I'll do it. And it's been a great relationship, and we're going to see him at CFO again. See, God will respond. Sometimes we just shouldn't hesitate. Sometimes we just need to get going, get moving, and let God move in us. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that yes, it's true that we can get ahead of you. We can push ahead, not wait, not trust, move in haste, as we heard last week. But it also seems to be true, Lord, that there are other times that we need to get moving and just do it. Give us the discipline where we need it. Give us people to come along to nudge us and help us to move when we're nudged. When we know that there's something that you're clearly asking us to do, Lord, give us the faith to do it, to not hesitate, to move forward in your spirit, and trust that you're moving with us, so that as you use Samuel in such a mighty way, you can even use us. We give ourselves to you, Lord. We ask you to move us when we're hard to move, to nudge us when we need that prompting, that encouragement, to send those around who help us discern the difference between those things for which we need to wait and those things for which we need to get moving. Help us see the difference by your Spirit, through your word, through good counsel, or in any other way, Lord, that you choose. Help us to be available to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And as I begin to read the ending verses of today's passage, I go back to remembering Mother's Day. And part of remembering Mother's Day is, for me, is remembering my mother. And one of the things about my mother as a minister was her ability to bring up certain scriptures and so forth. Whenever we went and talked to my mother about many things that we had going through for the day or for the week or for the month, my mother would patiently listen to us. And then as we got ready to go out the door, she said, oh, by the way, when you get home, open your Bible to Proverbs such and such. Open your Bible to Matthew such and such. And whenever you open your Bible to those passages that Mom told you to open it to, it spoke to the heart of what you felt that day or what you talked to her about. She didn't even open the Bible. She said, oh, by the way, sir. Oh, by the way, sir, sister. Oh, by the way, when you get home, read your Bible. Open it to chapter so-and-so. And a lot of times those chapters were in Proverbs, and they spoke to the heart of what we were going through. And so, happy Mother's Day, Mom. I'm going to read a passage here that you gave me some time ago. It's just the first eight verses, but it's eight verses that are well read. Proverbs chapter 3, My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor and good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. May God bless the reading of his word.
Amen. Thank you. Let's stand if we can as we get dismissed here. Right in the middle of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he wrote this: Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. As much as we want to serve God and move forward for him, let's remember that it needs to be God moving, not us. Go in peace, and the peace of God go with us.